Shalom Aleichem. Today is Thursday, Erev Shabbos, Erev Parashas Devarim. And Devarim is really an amazingly fascinating sefer on so many levels. To look at the sefer as Moshe's goodbye, as a leader, as a parent of the nation, to look at Devarim as a sefer Musar, to look at Devarim as a recap of all the halachos that came beforehand, to look at sefer Devarim as a sefer a preparation of Bnei Yisrael going into the land of Israel. Devarim can be seen in so many ways. And if you look at the Ramban, in the beginning of Parshas Devarim, the Ramban lays out essentially three different sections of the sefer. And, you know, in general, the more that we have the opportunity of looking at Chumash from an overview, not just getting lost in any given pasuk, although that's certainly important, but just seeing larger themes, seeing sort of the way that things are playing out in a sefer overall, that's very meaningful, just from a sort of a mature perspective when looking at Tanakh. The Ramban said that essentially you break up sefer Devarim into three sections. The first section is most of Parshas Devarim, which is essentially a recap of what's happened until now with Moshe's musar, Moshe's criticism, often subtle criticism of past decisions, and then the question becomes what to include in that critique and what to leave out. Then the next 30 or so prakim all deal with the recap of the various halachos, the recap of the laws, the recap of the ideology that's important, and most of those things that are included in those parshios from us on, not all, but most, at least the majority, are things that have been mentioned already. And in the last several parshios, Tzavim, Vayelech, Hazinu, Zazabracha, really is Moshe Rabbeinu's goodbye, Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha, Moshe Rabbeinu's sort of musar to the nation. And it's those three sections, a recap of the previous dvarim, the middle section, which is the dvarim, which are the laws, and then the last section. But I want to speak a little bit about something that I became conscious of just recently in that first section in dvarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu is recapping the generation that came out of Mitzrayim and their obviously fatal mistake in wanting to send in Meraglim and their mistake in receiving the Meraglim's report. And that generation is probably best understood by a couple of subtle words that appear in Sefer Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, let's go up to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was reading over the pasuk, we're at that place, we're about to enter into the land of Israel. God has placed the land in front of you. Go up and inherit it. And these are the key words. Al tira v'al techas. Do not be afraid, v'al techas, not translated great, but let's say don't be discouraged. And Moshe Rabbeinu already understood that this was a generation of people who might become nervous, who might become afraid, they might become discouraged, and that's in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf and Chaf Aleph. And in the very next Pasuk, the Torah Pasuk says, V'tikravun Eli Kulchem, and all of you approached me, Batomru, and you said, Nishlcha and Hashim Ufanenu, let us send Meraglim. And the language of Atikravun, Elai Kulchem, all of you came to me, the Midrashim and Rashi, they said, you came to me in fear. You came to me, Biravuvia, people like falling over each other to come to speak to me about not going in. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood that this was a generation of people who felt afraid and who felt nervous, were somewhat panicked, somewhat anxious. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, this is section number 3, Perek Lamed Beis, the Rambam says it's not in consonance with human nature for the man reared in slavery, bricks and mortar and the like, able to make a sudden transition, cleanse his hands from their dirt, and sally forth to fight with the progeny of the giants. The rabbi continues, besides, another generation arose, not accustomed to degradation and bondage. I just read a couple lines from the Rambam, but the Rambam is conveying this generation, people came out of Mitzrayim, people of fear, people of anxiety. Now, what's fascinating is that that is in the first perek in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Dvarim, and in the next perek, Moshe Rabbeinu now turns his speech, and he turns his advice, not to the generation of people who were raised in Mitzrayim, but the generation of people who were born in the desert, the generation of people who now will be entering into the land of Israel. And what's the difference between that first generation, the parent generation, and the kids generation? But we understand very well that the nature of children, both specifically, and the nature of children in regards to a new generation, often carries the flag and bears the flag that is the polar opposite of parents. If you have parents who are perceived to be perhaps survivors of the Holocaust, and they never spoke about anything, and emotions were not shown, and there was a certain type of home, children, both again specific children, and perhaps maybe even more so a generation of children, reject that, and they have a different style, a much more open, more emotional, communicating with children, even difficult topics. Every generation hopefully takes the best of the previous generation, but also very, either consciously or subconsciously, rejects the previous generation. So this door, this generation about to enter the Eretz Yisrael, these were not people who had to hear, Al Pira V'Al Pechas, don't be afraid and do not be hesitant, do not be discouraged. This was a generation of people that said, we are not people who saw slavery. And we will not be the people who were hesitant, like Avadim, who wanted to go back to Egypt, who wanted to allow themselves to be overtaken by the Mitzrim, who allowed themselves to be defeated, who were nervous about entering into the land of Israel. We are a different type of generation. And to that door, to that generation, Moshe Rabbeinu said an absolutely different message. He told them, and this can be found in Perek Beis, Sukkim Dalid to Zion, he says, you're soon going to be going through the land of Esav, which of course is Edom. You're going to be going through the lands of Moab. You'll be going through the lands of Ammon. He says, these are the people who are going to be scared of you. Make sure, and this is the key pasuk, Al Tisgaruvam, do not, for lack of a better word, mess with them. Do not start with them. You're not supposed to be in their land. Do not bother them. You buy, if you want food, so buy some food. If you want water, so then ask them if you can dig some water and pay them money. So you're going to be successful, but treat the neighbors who you will be traveling into Eretz Yisrael, or those neighbors who you're passing, treat them with respect. Do not treat them aggressively, even though in theory you could overtake them, and in theory they are scared of you. But this was a generation of people who had to learn that, for lack of a better expression, might does not make right. And the answer to the solution is not just by traveling forward, like in a blaze of glory. These are generation people who have to be told, you know, there is a place for force and there's a place for might, and make sure that you use it properly and do not become sort of so far swung in the other side of the pendulum from where your parents were. I want to highlight something in these prakim that is simply fascinating. We mentioned that by Edom, Moab, and Ammon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the nation, do not bother them, go through peacefully, buy food, buy water, etc., etc. But the nation that was different were the Emori. And Emori, the kings were Sichon and Og. And Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, this is Perek Beis, Pasuk Tav Dalid, Kumu Su'u V'ivru Es Nachal Arnon, Re'ei Nosati B'yotcha Sichon Melech Cheshbon. I have given to you in your hand Sichon, the king of Cheshbon, Ha'emori, the Es Arto, and his land. Hachel Rosh, take possession of the land, V'hidgarbo Milchama, and start a battle with the Emori. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, hands off Moab, hands off Edom, hands off Ammon, the Emori, begin a battle with them. What's amazing, what we see in this parak, if you look back in Parshas Chukas, where this is really based from, so what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu, v'eshlach malachim, I send messengers, El Sichon, divrei shalom leimor, peaceful messengers, saying, let's pass through your land. Lo asur yaminu small. We won't turn right or left. Ocha b'kesef hashbireni v'chalti. We'll buy food. We'll buy water. Rak e'ebra b'raglai. Moshe Rabbeinu said, let's just allow us to pass. So this nation, the Emori, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said before, b'hitgar bo milchama, make a battle with them. Why in the world is Moshe Rabbeinu taking the same pacifist stance, the same peaceful stance, and saying, no, we're not going to fight these people, we're going to send messengers and hope for the best? So there are many answers given, and Rashi, who has the principle of Ein Mukta Lucha B'Torah, said that a Kadosh Baruch Hu statement of be aggressive was only after Moshe Rabbeinu had sent in messengers. Those messengers were rebuffed by Sichon, and only then did God say, be more aggressive and start battle against Sichon. Even though the Pesukim go out of order, the Pesukim first has God saying, be aggressive, and then Moshe saying, be peaceful. But Rashi says that, in fact, the Pesukim are reversed. Moshe tried to be peaceful. That was acceptable to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then only then did God say, have a war against them. But there's Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Chukas that said the reverse of Rashi. And what the Medrash Tanchuma said, and this is such a beautiful and important Medrash, he said that by most mitzvahs, we don't pursue that mitzvah. For instance, he says, if you have a shaluch hakan, so it's only that if it comes to you, if it happens to be there. Other mitzvot also, you know, if you happen to meet your enemy's ox, when you cut down your harvest, when you do this, if you do that, everything, said the Medrash, is the mitzvot when they come after you, but it's not necessarily that we have to go running after those mitzvot. The Medrash may not necessarily be completely true, but the Medrash is trying to make a point. What is the one area, said the Medrash, that we have to run after? Shalom, peace. Bakesh shalom v'rod fehu. Seek peace, run after peace. And the Medr says, afal pi she'amar lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though God tells the nation, Moshe Rabbeinu, hachel rosh, v'hidgar b'milchama, God says, start a war with them. So yet, Moshe still rodfu as a shalom. He ran after peace. She'amar, Veshlach Malachim El Sichon Divrei Shalom. I will send messengers to Sichon to make peace. This Medrash is amazing. This Medrash is telling us that Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed war, Moshe Rabbeinu had instructed for peace. Now, it's not, at least in my estimation, that Moshe Rabbeinu is disagreeing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom. But the Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps as the human leader, understood that this was a nation, while even though starting a war with the Emori might be appropriate, but that this was a generation who, for them, should swing in the reverse, should swing in the direction of being peaceful, of seeking good relations. This was a generation who was looking to fight. This was a generation that would fight because they would have to eliminate Sheva Amim and Eretz Yisrael. But for right now, the nation had to learn, perhaps, more trust and less violence, less action. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you have to go seek peace with these people, even though Kadosh Baruch Hu said you should seek war. Every generation is unique. Every generation has a calling. You know, the generation after the war, the calling was to rebuild. The calling was to build up the land of Israel. The calling was to survive. Every generation finds that they have a specific mission. And then the question is how to fulfill the mission in a way that doesn't completely throw out the accomplishments of the previous generation. I think about the young Russian Jews in the 1880s who saw their parents as being part of the old world, who saw their parents as being so traditional and being so meek and being so unaggressive and just accepting their very difficult fate in Russia of the 19th century. And that generation, which obviously had so many good qualities of the Chalutzim, but they also rejected all the traditions of the past generation. And how to sort of be different and to correct past mistakes while at the same time integrating so many of the themes of the past generation. You know, I look around the landscape, and especially in light of things that have happened and issues that have come up the last few weeks, I think to myself that the challenge of our generation are to be people who are in many ways insulated. So insulated from so many of the, but honestly, the values of the world that have changed so rapidly in a way that is so counter towards Jewish ideals. I'm insulated from so many of the values of the world, insulated from so much of what technology has brought to us in a way that is not appropriate and harmful and dangerous, and how to have homes and families and children that are not completely, just completely immersed in that culture. And how do we insulate ourselves? But at the same time, do so in a way that feels comfortable in the world and respectful of the world. To not be the generation of people that sit and say, the goyim, and they have to get up, how do we get from them, and how do we take advantage of the government and the nation, the culture we're living in without giving anything back? How are we people that really insulate ourselves in a very, very definitive way, but at the same time to do so in a way that is, again, respectful, interactive, healthy, vis-a-vis the world around us. That it shouldn't be that we are in any way, in any small way, parasitic, we're pariahs, we're viewed as people who are taking but not giving back. How do we manage as our unique generation to straddle that line, to be, again, both people of insulation, at the same time people of generosity of spirit, healthiness, integration, derech eretz, all of those things that sometimes, unfortunately, are lacking in the broader Jewish community and especially in the broader Orthodox community. As we see from the Torah, each generation has their own challenge, and we should be steadfast in questioning the challenges and the opportunities of our generation. Thank you for calling in, and have a Shabbat Shalom.